This is Steve Stillwell. Welcome to the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show. Welcome to the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show. This is Steve Stillwell, and I've got a good friend with me today, Morris McCann. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine, though. We actually have spent quite a bit of time in the woods together. He's an avid bushcrafter, outdoorsman, kayaker. He's a professional musician. He's worked in the telecommunications industry, and Morris is also a homesteader.
That's right.
Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
It's great been a while. It's been a minute, hasn't it?
It has. We talk just about every week. Sometimes we might go a week or two without hearing from one another, but we always have a lot to catch up on.
Lots of cool things going on.
Yeah. Morris also likes to practice self-reliance, and he's a minimalist. Let's talk about that. What sparked your interest in that?
Well, actually, the minimal living started approximately 4 or 5 years ago for me. Bushcraft goes back further than that. But what I did, a mission trip down to Mexico, and my wife and I had bought a nice two-story house in Denison, Texas, and I'd gone on a mission trip, and I spent a week with some of the most beautiful, happy people I ever met in my life, and they had nothing.
I love it.
And by the time I came back, when I walked in the front door, I told my wife, I said, we have too much.
Too much junk,
We got too much.
Yeah.
So we, instead of selling, we gave almost everything away, sold the house, moved back to the mountain of southeast Oklahoma, and now we live in a 840-square-foot little cabin.
I've seen pictures. Haven't been there yet. I'm on my way, though.
Need to come see me.
Yeah, I've got the map. But from what I've seen, you've done some incredible things out there. You've got an outdoor fire pit, and you kind of had a man cave that you were starting off in that you played some of your music. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Morris is a very accomplished musician, and the Morris McCann Backwoods, he does a lot of his own music.
Yeah, I do all of it, yeah.
Not a lot, all of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I do all of it. Anytime I do a video or something, I do my own background. That's one of the pluses to being a musician and having some recording gear.
In the past, who have you opened for?
Oh, goodness.
Who have you played with?
Merle Haggard, Vince Gill, Tracy Lawrence, Johnny Rodriguez, George Jones.
The list goes on.
Yeah, we had a good run there. You know,
these are nobody. Or these aren't just nobodies. These guys are big names in the music industry.
Yeah, and I get to, here lately, I've kind of rolled into a little circuit where I'm doing things with opening a show with Radney Foster and
awesome.
Opening a show for Billy Dean a couple of weeks ago, and it was pretty neat. He invited me on stage to do some music with him, so it was a fun evening.
Oh, neat.
So getting to play with a lot of those old heroes from back in the day.
Those were the pictures you were showing me at lunch?
Yeah, a lot of these guys are doing acoustic shows, and so these venues will hire me to come in and warm up the crowd, and you get quite often you get a chance to really sit close and personal and visit with these folks, so.
Yeah,
pretty awesome
stuff. Talk to me about Rabbit Stick. This is kind of the who's who of survival get-togethers.
It is.
And tell the audience, where does this take place?
It's in
Idaho, right?
Rexburg, Idaho. I had to think for a second. I could come
up. He travels all over the place, ladies and gentlemen.
So. Yeah, I'm in a different town about every day. Rexburg, Idaho. And if you asked Cody Lundeen, which is to me the Merle Haggard, I call him the Merle Haggard of survival and primitive living skills. He'll tell you it's the granddaddy of all primitive skills gatherings. And this past year, of course, they didn't have it due to COVID. But in 2019, I attended the full week, thinking that I might skip out a day or two early and go sightsee, but I couldn't leave. I had to stay for the duration because it was so enjoyable and meeting so many neat people.
You had a picture of you and Cody together that you sent me. I've saved that in my pictures on my
Cody's
computer.
Cody's a good dude. He's a good dude.
They teach workshops there too, don't they?
You name it, you can find it there.
Ladies and gentlemen, he came back and he was making an atlatl. And he actually gave me a demonstration when we camped earlier this year over in Oklahoma. We were at Big Cedar area?
Just north of Big Cedar.
Yeah, north of Big Cedar. And he threw that thing, and man, the velocity, I was immediately impressed. I shoot compound bow, and I've shot recurve crossbows. But this thing here, you could take down a big game animal with it.
You know, the atlatl is attributed to the survival of the human species. Because it was the killing machine of its time.
Stone Age ways are the best.
Yeah, and that one, you know, and this you can make in the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with a knife or a stone tool.
I'll tell you what, it took me several tries. He was pretty well dead on, ladies and gentlemen. Old Steve here, I was throwing like a girl at first. Nothing to our female bushcrafters, I'll tell you what. I've got some ladies on my Facebook page, some of them from Alone, some of them from other survival venues, and I'll tell you what, I'm really impressed. Some of them have killed bigger deer than I have. So.
You meet some of those ladies like at Rabbit Stick. You get to really see them in their element, you know. I mean, it's just everybody there is passionate. You know, and it is a who's who of bushcraft and wilderness survival. But back to the atlatl, you know, that when I first started throwing it, I thought there's no way this is going to work, you know. And a friend, my instructor, which now has become a quite a good friend, Tony Pike, he was actually on Bushcraft Build Off.
Oh, really?
A couple of those episodes.
That's a neat program.
Yeah, he was on there and a very knowledgeable guy. But he was a good teacher and taught me how to put one together, and he lit a fire in me. When I got home, I could. And then the COVID hit. And so I just stayed there on the homestead, and every day I'd put in 4 hours a day on that thing.
Yeah,
cured my tennis elbow with it.
Did you really?
Yeah, I sure did. So, folks, if your arm hurts and you have, I even had trouble picking up a glass of tea, take up the atlatl and practice for about 4 months. You'll get rid of that tennis elbow.
Yeah, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And that's a fact. We got to keep moving the older we get. Let's see, who was that? Morris Kohansky? That guy bushcrafted up until he passed away.
And yep. He was sitting in an assisted chair, you know, a wheeled around chair. I remember watching some of his last videos, and he was sitting in his chair, you know, and still.
Yeah.
Demonstrating. Yeah, he was the bomb when it comes to bushcraft. He was. And when you attend something like Rabbit Stick or Between the Rivers or, you know, those different, there's several gatherings they have every year. You really get into the meat of it and really meet a lot of people. I mean, I'd been from the outside looking in, meeting people, and have been passionate for years about it. But once Rabbit Stick was really an eye-opener to me, I really met some neat people.
How many days did it take you to get out there? Because I think you camped along the way too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I usually spend 3 or 4 days getting, you could get there in 2 days, but I break it down into
some primitive camping along the way, didn't you?
All the way there, while I was there, all the way back.
Yeah, he didn't even buy a hotel, ladies and gentlemen. Just didn't need one.
Sleep on the ground.
The more you know, the less you carry.
Yeah, and that is true. That's some good advice. Sure is.
Yeah. I want to talk about kind of how you got your start. Back in 1999, you talked about Cody's Backpacker magazine article. You still have that magazine, don't
I do.
You?
I do. I bought that. I used to collect backpacker magazines. I was an avid backpacker gearhead. If there's a piece of gear, I owned it. But things started breaking down. You know, and I found myself having to buy more gear, and I thought, man, there's got to be a better way than this. Well, I can't remember what issue. I think at that time there were 3 issues a year. But there was this, they call him the Abbo Dude. That's his nickname. And there was a picture of him with a homemade gourd and that frost knife around his neck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a sight to behold. He looks primitive.
Oh, yeah.
Himself, yeah.
Yeah, the Abbo Dude. And I read that article, and I thought, man, this guy's crazy. I thought, man, I was intrigued, and I thought, well, at that time, I think I was kind of seeing some Ray Mears stuff. So I was learning a little bit, fire steel, things like that. But as far as primitive friction fire, I just had never even gave it a second thought. Then I read that article, and that just kind of stayed on my mind. And then a few years later, I went to one of his classes. And it's not just the skills he teaches, it's the mindset as well. I mean, the guy's got, you know, if you've got the passion, if it's in you and you want to do it, Cody's a great guy to feed that fire in you.
Oh, he's intelligent. He knows what he's talking about. Right away talking to him.
When you use him as an example of really living it and doing it, the guy really lived it.
Yeah.
I mean, for a long time now.
Yeah, he said he started doing this stuff before it was even cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's you and I both. Gosh, when I started camping out, and I started off as a deer hunter, but I realized, I said, you know, I got to learn some skills out here. What if I get lost?
Yeah.
Or stranded?
You know, and there's a handful of skills that you need to know. A lot of people will go to the classes and then they want to try to re-emulate it 6 months down the road to show off, you know. But to have successful fire, to have successful water purification consistently, you have to do it. You have to do it a lot, you know, or you're going to fumble around on a cold night. You know, cold, wet night. Learn how to prepare it, you know, gather as you go, things like that. And it's like I told you, I've actually emailed Cody and thanked him for just inspiring me to want to do this, because now it's a way of life for me. I love to do it. I'm out there every chance I can get, of course.
Yeah.
I'm married and have responsibilities, so I can't be out there every night. But
during our first outing, ladies and gentlemen, the weather was, when was it? It was around your birthday, around February.
Yeah, we were going on a camping trip for mm-hmm. my birthday.
Yeah, and it rained. The weather was inclement. I slept under a lean-to, and you brought a hammock and a tarp. And I'll tell you what, we had fire the whole time, even though it was wet. We had water, we ate well, and just had one heck of a time. And we've been going ever since.
Yep. In fact, this would be our third one coming up in February.
Yeah.
Just got to decide where we're going to go this time.
Oh, yeah.
Where's the new adventure?
It's so hard where we live.
I know. I know, you got all these trees in your way, you know, and you got to cross these stupid creeks, you know.
Or climb that mountain.
Yeah.
And all the rocks.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
That was a good time, brother.
It was. And you know what? Last time we camped out, everybody, over in Big Cedar area, Morris started our fire with a bow drill. Talk about that a little bit. That was so neat. And I'll tell you what, it was less than perfect conditions again.
It was hot.
Yeah.
It was a really warm, I think it was February.
But there was humidity. You know, it was
humidity,
just kind of weird.
I was sweating, you know, and all it takes is one drop of sweat to rain on your parade when it comes mm-hmm. to friction fire. So you got to really watch what you're doing. And it did. It took me, you know, on a good day, I'm pretty much a one-shot guy. But that day, it took me about four tries, I believe it was, before finally that coal appeared for me.
We've seen Cody on television and some of the other survivalists. Sometimes they've got to make several stabs at it, too.
Sure.
It's not easy.
You bet.
Yeah, it takes a lot of practice and patience.
Well, and it's the muscle memory. You know, the thing I remember about friction fire, and I've done it both ways, bow drill and hand drill, but I like the bow drill, like most folks do. It does require one more element, or two more, actually, your bow and your bearing block.
But, and then you picked up a socket. And mm-hmm. talk about, this is really neat. He picked this up at Rabbit Stick. And tell our audience what it was, or what it is.
Well, it's just a deer knuckle.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a small deer knuckle. And it, depending on the size of your spindle, you know, you may want to, but you can use several things.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's uncle actually found a stone that was a bearing block.
Wow.
Found
cool.
it in a field over by the Choctaw Nation Capitol.
Oh, that's neat. A lot of artifacts around here. I like the ancient ways, too. And I'm kind of a hybrid, a combination of both. I like my gadgets and such, but the primitive ways really intrigue me, because to be able to go out there with just barely nothing and not only survive but thrive, and we're seeing people do that with their YouTube videos, some of the television programs, that takes a lot of ingenuity, a lot of patience, and skill.
I don't do a lot of YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, but I barely ever put anything on. I should put more, I guess. But I don't know. I get out there and get so busy enjoying what I'm doing and busy that I hardly ever finish a video. That's why you see a lot of 2-minute clips on the Facebook page
I'm Instagram. The same way. I get out there and I'm just into what we're doing. And hey, by the way, I ordered Cody Lundeen's book, 98.6 Degrees, The Art of Keeping Your Ass Alive. And just got that. I can't wait to go through this book. I just kind of sort of thumbed through it. It's just chock full of illustrations and even some color pictures. Cody's relationship, and I was able to pick up on this when I talked to him, his relationship with his students, he takes his job very seriously, because not only does he teach, but he cares about the people he's teaching. I think that's what separates the pros from the amateurs, those out there just trying to make a buck. Cody's doing this because he likes it.
My first class with Cody, I really pestered him a lot, and ask him a lot of questions, but he's always open to answering any questions that you have. You know, he refers to his students as his kids, and he said, you're my responsibility. I'm going to take care of you while you're out here. And he does. And I also want to, think it's Dorston is his last name. Mark Dorston is his assistant. My first class with Cody was 2015. First time I met him. And he had this fellow named Mark Dorston that worked with him. At that time, I think Mark had been with him 17 years.
Wow. That's a long time.
A long time.
Yeah.
And Mark's very knowledgeable and very, very handy with his skills.
You think they trusted one another?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, it's an experience going out with Cody or people like him. Anyway, Cody, I think it's a Mountain Smith. It's like a big lumbar pack, but that's all mostly just packed full of first aid gear. In case anybody gets hurt, he's got it covered. He's very knowledgeable in first aid. He's very knowledgeable in the anatomy of the body, how things work. First thing you do is you chug 2 liters of water, and he says, if you throw it up, we're going to start all over before we get started. He wants to make sure that belly's full of water and it's entering your system. And but anyway, that evening we sit down to eat, and he pulls out this old duffel bag. One of the straps is about to rip off of it. And it's just one of those cheap little old. And I said, is that why they always carry this stuff in? He said, Morris, he said he had that thing 17 years ago when I started with him. And he's still carrying that thing. And Cody drug an apple out and some meat or something and ate, sat down and ate with us. Now, when I went back 2 or 3 years later, he had gotten a new duffel bag. One of his clients had bought him a new bag. I was kind of bummed because I wanted to see that beat up old duffel bag again.
A lot of history and stories with that thing.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, when it's time to bed down, Cody just tells you, find a place. He'll usually get up under a brush pile or something. But anyway, he's very knowledgeable of the Aboriginal people of the Southwest.
And yeah, he specializes in desert survival, but he loves, on television, oh, yeah, we've seen him survive in all climates.
He'll tell you my arid climate is his favorite.
Mm-hmm. That's his forte.
It is, and he gets around in it very well. But yeah, that kind of kicked it off, and I've just kind of stuck with it through the years, and I just try to learn. I don't guess I try to learn everything that comes down the pike. I try to just look at what pertains to my area, my neck of the woods, and I try to learn the things that will get me through.
Yeah, absolutely, the things that are necessary. But yeah, it never hurts to pick up something new every now and then. I'll tell you what, that's why I like going out there with you and with some other people I've camped with. Sometimes you meet somebody and they just have great ideas, things that we don't think of ourselves.
Yeah, I love this community, the people.
I do too.
The people that are passionate about it. And the good thing about this bunch of folks that we hang out with is there's no arrogance. We learn from each other.
Yeah.
And nobody's an expert. We're all still learning.
Yeah, that's what some of the best say. You know, none of them really claim to be experts, but they know some things.
Once I know it all, I'll quit because I love learning new stuff, man. It's amazing some of the things you learn that just comes out of the blue from people, you know. So it's definitely been a blessing in my life.
Oh, me too, yeah. And some of the times over the fire you and I have spent. Remember that time you brought those steaks and we cooked those? I cooked mine on a rock. You cooked yours on the coals.
Yeah, yeah.
That was so fun. That was the best doggone steak.
Yeah.
Campfire cooking is awesome.
You know, with primitive skills, you know, that cup of coffee, you don't just get up and turn on the button.
Yeah, you got to go down to the creek, purify your water, get everything ready. You work for it.
Yeah, it's anything that you need out there, there's work to get it.
Yeah.
It doesn't come for free. You know, just like stacking your wood. When you think you got enough, get about 10 times as much.
Yeah.
And you might get through the night.
You and I do good on that. That's what I noticed. First time we set up camp, Morris, he started doing certain tasks. What I did, I observed what he was doing, and I did things to complement those tasks, or vice versa. And I'll tell you what, that's a good partner where you can work together and kind of read and feed off of one another. Because I've camped with some people, ladies and gentlemen, and you got to do every stinking thing yourself. And I hate that. I gotta gather the firewood and I gotta purify their water. And I'm like, come on, put some effort in this and learn something.
Well, you know, you and maybe two other people is all that's ever been to the woods with me on primitive skills trips.
See, there you go. He's
just
very
for
selective.
That simple reason. Yeah. Yeah, because I don't need anybody to drag me down. You know, when you go out, you all have the same goals. You're both, if there's two of you, you're both gonna have to drink, you're both gonna have to eat. You know, you both breathe the same air. I don't care if one's got more money or less money in there. One's
don't matter out there.
Out there, it doesn't matter. You're brought down to the same level. I think in life, that's what people need to understand. That when you bring people down to just the existence, we're all the same. There ain't nobody better than anybody else.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the wilderness separates the sheep from the goats.
Yeah, it doesn't compromise.
Yeah.
It doesn't work with you. You work with it.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, you got to work around it. Hey, you've gotten into some cast iron cooking. I want to talk about that a little bit because when I interviewed J. Wayne Fears, he's written a couple of books on cast iron cooking, and that's an art and a skill in itself. I love cast iron.
I do too. You know, it's like with everything that I do. I don't claim to be an expert at any of it. I learn the things that I need to learn to satisfy what I need to get done.
And some of it's trial and error too, isn't it?
It is. And I mean,
I hate to say it. I've actually burned a meal before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still eat it because I'm hungry.
Yeah, when you're out there, you don't have any choice.
Yeah. But the cast iron cooking stuff, can I plug somebody on the show? No idea what his name is. I've become friends with a guy on Instagram and his name, he just goes by Just a Mountain Dude.
Just a Mountain Dude.
And he has several followers, and I have nearly none. But he's one of the first ones that jumped on there and started and followed me and liked what I was doing.
Yeah.
And every day you can watch him when the weather's cooler, when he's cooking outside. He'll cook his breakfast, lunch, and dinner out there.
Neat.
And it's not a fire pit. It looks like he builds a fire at different. He stacks logs. There's not a lot of grills and things like that.
Yeah.
I started watching him, and I already had a cast iron. I grew up on cast iron. That's all my mama would cook in. And when I got grown and moved away, we got into the Teflon and ceramic and all that stuff, and I got away from it. That kind of rekindled that wanting to eat off cast iron. So when it cools off, I'll pull out the Dutch oven or the skillet and start experimenting with different dishes. I love to cast iron cook.
I do too, because the good thing is I think it cleans up a lot easier than some of this modern junk. Even if they say, oh, this is Teflon and it doesn't stick. Well, guess what? It does.
If you take care of it, it doesn't wear out. Once Teflon's worn out, it's worn out.
Oh,
and you're taking in that flaky stuff. It's
not good for you to ingest that.
You know, even the ceramic, which is really good. I do like cooking on ceramic, but
it
has to be more of a controlled environment than an open fire.
Ceramic's not bad.
But I like ceramic okay, but it is fragile. But the cast iron, if you keep it seasoned right and treat it right.
Oh, yeah, once you season it, all mine are seasoned, and they're easy to clean up. You can clean them up in the field, too. In fact, Morris did one thing. He had a kettle, and talk about that technique. This is really neat.
Well, it's pretty simple. It's just things that people don't think about, that do the modern camping. They think, I don't have a scrub brush, so I can't. We'll clean it when we get home. But river gravel, the fine river gravel is the best stuff. I've got a stainless steel kettle. It's about a 1 liter kettle.
Yeah.
And I cook everything in it, my meals, my coffee, everything. If I cook something that sticks, just go down to the river, set you some water in it for a little bit, let it kind of soften, then just grab you a handful of river gravel and you get that thing shiny, clean.
Oh, yeah.
Even, I used to clean the black off to make it all pretty again.
Yeah,
but
we're kind of doing ourselves harm. I learned that. I've got one that turned black, a kettle or a pot. And I'll tell you what, that black is actually a blessing in disguise.
Because it'll heat up quicker.
Yeah.
That's an old Morse. I think it's a Morse Kohansky. It's one thing. It's either him or maybe both.
Yeah.
But I heard somebody talk about.
I have too. Yeah. We watched some of the same people.
Yeah. It clicked with me. It's like, okay, black. Yeah. Black heats up better.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't even try to clean mine up. I mean, I clean the inside.
Yeah. The insides were spotless, but same here.
All my stuff's black.
Yeah.
I've got a 24-ounce nesting cup and a 1 liter stainless steel bottle that just nests inside of each other, and it comes with a pot hanger. It's a cool cook system. But, the thing that people need to kind of consider is when you're bushcrafting, you're not always clean. I camped with some fellas here a while back that one had a nesting cup, and I was cooking all my stuff on the fire because why waste fuel when you got a fire? So he wanted to try us, and it kind of bummed him out because, I got my pot black. I said, well, it's just a part of it, brother. By the end of so I had my Gransfer Brooks axe with me. By the end of that trip, he was like, can I use your axe? And he was cutting wood. He was getting his pot black. Next thing he was really getting into the bushcraft end.
You converted him.
He was setting the stove aside. Because I told him, I said, buddy, that stove's going to break down on you. That's what got me into this, is components break down.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, I'm a firm believer in following the laws of wherever you're at. You remember our first overnighter, the one we did on my birthday?
Yeah.
Remember, they had just put in effect a fire ban for a little Flora County.
Mm-hmm. But we didn't have one over here.
And you said, well, it's been raining over here because we were going to go.
Yeah, we were. That's right.
We were going to go to Big Cedar.
Yeah.
And then we ended up, you said, well, it's only another hour. Just keep on coming. By the time I got to your house, I saw water. I got about 2 miles past Big Cedar, and there was water in the ditches.
Yeah.
We got to your house. We hiked back in the woods.
Yeah.
And we started setting up camp.
It rained for 3 days solid.
It started raining, and I thought we was going to have to build an ark out of that pine knot instead of burning it.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was funny. Man, we had a lot of firewood. In fact, when we left, of course, we extinguished everything, followed all the laws. We cleaned up our camp. But there was still some firewood left.
Yeah, we actually did a no trace. We actually dug up the fire pit and threw it into the creek and washed the coals down the creek.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell we were there.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I drove past there here, I don't know, a week or two ago because deer season. Me and one of my hunting buddies took a ride, and I kind of looked down there, and I'm like, there's where we camped.
Yep. You couldn't tell, could you?
A great secluded area.
Yeah.
A lot of wildlife and everything. But I want to touch on something else here before we close. What are some of your future plans with bushcrafting? Where do you want to see this go?
Personally, years ago, I really thought that I wanted to make a career out of it. Not to say I wouldn't want to do that now.
Yeah.
But I just want to continue the lifestyle, and I want to dig deeper into it.
Yeah.
I guess my vision would be, you know, not too many years down the road, I'm not going to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in my mid-50s now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to pass it along to, I want to have another generation take the reins.
Yeah.
And continue to learn. Because I saw it almost end with my generation.
Mm-hmm.
There's just been that resurgence lately. But for in the 80s, mid-90s, I didn't see a lot of people going into the outdoors. So, of course, I was just as guilty because I was traveling down the road trying to make a dollar playing a guitar.
Oh, yeah, working in the telecommunications industry. Yeah, you were busy and playing music. And
but
glad you made time for this, and I'm glad I met you.
Yeah, 15 years ago, I just made up my mind that I was going to delve into this. It's been about a 15-year journey for me now.
Yeah.
And I just hope that I can learn enough to really, because I never teach anybody anything until I've done it consistently and I'm good at it.
Mm-hmm.
I just rather.
Yeah, we pick up some skills along the way, that's for sure. I've mentored a few people with hunting skills because I do that all the time. But these skills are very important. In fact, in the up and coming days, who knows? Who knows where society is going to head? Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring everything to a close here. This is my good friend, Morris McCann. Tell them how to find your page, the Morris McCann Backwoods.
Okay, just on Facebook. I named everything consistent, so it's easy to find on Facebook. MeWe.
Mm-hmm. MeWe.
Parler.
Okay.
Instagram and YouTube.
Morris McCann Backwoods, ladies and gentlemen.
And hey, folks, if I start seeing some interest in the YouTube, I just haven't really been that big into YouTube. I started the channel.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, if folks look at my page and want to see more extended stuff, I'll definitely make the effort and put out some longer videos for the YouTube. Just jump on there and like and subscribe.
Excellent.
I'll get you some more content put on there.
Thanks for listening. And until next time, God bless you. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Steve Stillwell's The Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show. Catch Steve on the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Facebook page and on the Ouachita Podcast website every other Thursday. That's www.theouachitapodcast.com, plural. And remember, as Steve always says, the more you know, the further you can go.